If this was a normal year, so many, if not most of you, would be gone by now. The question is just whether the yeshiva would have been matzliach in working out that the end of the year Shabbaton would actually be the last Shabbos or the Shabbos before that. If it was last Shabbos, so then no one would be around anymore. And if it was this Shabbos, so then the Hasidim and the Tzaddikim would probably be around until Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but everybody else already gone. And no matter what, whether it would be this week or whether it be last week, so this Chumash year would have been what I always call the swan song, you know, the last Chumash year of the Zman and Zeo. Baruch Hashem, if you could say such a thing, so we're under different circumstances. And we had a vote last week, you know, to push on for another week with the regular Limud. And Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy that we did it. Got another couple of good shiurim in. Three shiurim on the new perek. But I do have to admit that last night, after I got off the Zoom, I went to bed feeling, I don't know, down is too strong a term, but I went to bed with the feeling that everybody, including myself, is sort of, you know, smelling the end. And in a certain way, it's very sad. Sad in a different way than in a normal year. In a normal year, you really have to say goodbye to everybody. I always tell people that the reason that I like to be involved with Ner Mechael is because that's a way that I never have to say goodbye to anybody. A guy leaves the yeshiva, so, you know, whatever, okay, fine, no problem. We'll be in touch by email. There's officially, you don't have to say goodbye to anybody. You don't like to say goodbye. But in this situation, we didn't say goodbye, we didn't say hello. Everybody just been apart from each other, you know, for 4 months and going. But it's still sad, because this whole Zman was a memorable experience. An experience where we took something called Zumer Zman, which in the beginning was just a dream or a vision. And I think that over the past number of weeks, months already, we've actually grown to see it turn into a cheftza. And I don't know about everybody else here, I imagine be the same. But for me, this Zman was a Zman, if not maybe the most effective Zman, although I think it was a very effective Zman too, on its own level. But in terms of being memorable, I don't think that there's anything that really even comes close. It's an experience for life. And therefore, as the clock is ticking and the sand is going through the hourglass, it is kind of sad to see it waning away. And in that context, so I just want to give over a couple of thoughts on the Parshiyos, and also a little bit on last week's Parsha, which puts some things into context, going back to the normal Zmanim that we had together, and then again moving on to this one, until Be'ezras Hashem, you know, will continue next week, and it ain't over until it's over. But just to leave with some context, because you don't know what the future is going to be, and the clock is ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking. Parshas Matos starts with Shavuos and Nedarim, which Be'ez Hashem will be learning in Yeshiva, this coming Elul. Learn Shavuos in the morning and Nedarim in the afternoon. And after the Parsha of Shavuos and Nedarim, so Moshe Rabbeinu is told by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to go and do what's supposed to be his last act. Nekayim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esa midyonim. Go take revenge for b'nei Yisrael from the midyonim. Achar te'yosef el amecha. Afterwards, you're going to be gathered in. You're going to leave this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you got to take 1,000 for each shevet. It's going to be 13,000 people. Elef lamata. L'chol matis Yisrael, including Levi. Vayimosru me alfe Yisrael alfa mate shnemasar elef chalutzei tzova. That's without Shevet Levi. Rashi, really it's a Sifri, shtels on the Lashon of Vayimasru. What's Vayimasru? They were given over, Bal Korchon. Should say Vayikach, the Moshe took them. What's Vayimasru? Says Rashi, Vayimasru la'idiach ha-shvacham shel Roye Yisrael. To tell you the shvach of the shepherds of Klal Yisrael. Kamehem chavivim al Yisrael, how beloved they are to Klal Yisrael. Now listen to this. At Shalai Shamu b'misasai ma'uayimer, before they heard that he's going to die, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Oid ma'atu skohuni. They're going to stone me. They're out to get me. They can't take it. Mishashamu shemisas Moshe teluya b'nikmas midyan, but once they heard that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to leave the scene, after the nekama with midyan, le'rotzu l'leches, they didn't want to go. At Shinimsru al Karchan, until the people were given over Bal Karchan. So on one hand, you have this stira. Klal Yisrael calls man the Moshe's with them. Oid ma'atu skaluni. They're out to get Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a nudge. He's a nudnik. He's on their case. They hear that it's almost over. Roy Yisrael ar chavivim. Bal Karcham. They have to be forced into giving the soldiers because they don't want Moshe Rabbeinu to leave. The truth of the matter is that we see it again. Really, we saw it last week. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him take a look. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ale al har avorim hazeh, go up to the mountain. You're going to see the land. And then afterwards he says, you're going to die. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do, like any great leader? He doesn't worry about himself. He says, what's going to be with the people? What's going to be with Klal Yisrael? Says Moshe, Yifkayt Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar Isha Lo'ida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should appoint a leader for after I leave. Asher Yetzei Lifneim, Asher Yavai Lifneim. And he appoints Yeshua, and the Pasuk uses a Lashon, Kach L'cha Es Yeshua Bin Nun. Take Yeshua Bin Nun. What's kach lecha? Again, comes the Sifri. Kachenu b'devarim. Take him with words. Ashrecha shezachisa lahanik bono shel makan. It's a great thing, Yeshua, that you're going to be the manig of Klal Yisrael. What a zechus. What a privilege. What a sweet thing. But on the other hand, three psukim later, Moshe Rabbeinu is told that he's got to give Yeshua orders, and he tells him it's not so sweet. Command him. Bal Karchai. Give him orders. Says the Sifri, V'tzivisa Yisrael dash etarchonim heim, sarbonim heim, Al-Menashe Tekabel Alecha. You're only going to be able to do it if you realize that. They're a bunch of dray cups. They're very stubborn people. They don't hear good sense. When they had a fight with their wife, they're going to blame it on you. When they didn't wake up for Shacharis that morning, they're going to say that their Chavrusa is no good and that the Shir was no good. That's the way that it is. So on one hand, he tells Yeshua, what is a chus? You'll be a manig Yisrael. You'll be a parent. You'll be a manig. You'll be a Rebbe. On the other hand, you got to realize sarbonim heim, tarchonim heim. A great story I always like to tell, that when Moshe Scherer, before he took over the Aguda, so his cousin Mike Tress, who was in charge before him, told him a couple of things. One of them is that he says, I got to tell you something, and this is the only time you're going to hear it from me. After this, finished. You'll never hear it again. You're going to be in a position of power, and you're going to do a lot of chesed. You're going to do a lot of people, a lot of tevis. Never, ever expect to be thanked. Never expect any appreciation. Just be happy if people don't spit you in the eye, and then you'll be able to survive. That's Klal Yisrael. But what is zechus? A zechus to be a manig, a zechus to be a parent, a zechus to be a rebbe. But on the other hand, it's a dray cup. There's always this mixed bag. And that's what you have by Moshe Rabbeinu also. When he's alive, a nudnik, a dray cup. Oid mal'atu skaluni. When he's about to leave, so then they appreciate him. What do we make of this? How do you understand this stira? Why is it that there's this dichotomous relationship? A stira mineu bei. The Klal Yisrael has with its leaders, with its parents, with its rabbeim. On one hand, it's a dray cup. On one hand, we're sarbonim, we're tarchonim, we can't take it. But on the other hand, there's a hakaras atoiv, there's a sweetness, and that it's a zechus, like people don't appreciate any other zechus like this one. It's a very interesting insight, but it's a truism in many things, really in all opportunities that a person has, whether it be as a manhig or whether it be as a person who's a follower, but it's a big insight for life. I heard many years ago, when I was 14, and then when I was 15, and 16, and 17, Rabbi Wein used to drill it into us, and he used to say, Rabosai, there's no such a thing as a free lunch in life. There's no free lunch. You get what you pay for in this world. If something is easy, chances are it's not worth very much. And if something is hard, so then it's worth going after. The old adage is that when you have somebody who, he's riding a bicycle, and he finds that he's going very, very fast without any effort at all. So what do they say? They say that he's going downhill. If it's too easy and it's too geschmack and, you know, you're just flying without putting in any effort, down the hill. To go up takes a lot of effort. Rav Noach Weinberg had his own nusach. He used to ask people, you know, your parents, what's their greatest pleasure? And people would say, me. And he would say, and what's your parents' greatest annoyance? What's their greatest nudnik? What's their greatest pain? And they would say, me. Because the price that you pay for pleasure is pain. Ben-Hehe said it better than everybody. Lufum tzara agra. If it's not somewhat difficult, if it's not somewhat unpleasant, if you don't have to strain, if you don't have to put up with something, chances are it's not worth very much. We're not talking about, you know, simple obnoxiousness. If somebody is mean, if somebody is cruel, if somebody's a bad person, of course, that's not getting you anywhere. That's just being abused. But anytime we have to put up with something because of the fact that we're going after a higher goal, that's part of the price that you have to pay for going up. Ben hei oimer lufum tzara agra. And that's basically why every great leader, every great parent, you can say any Rebbe who's really worth anything, has to push people out of their comfort zones. If you're in a situation where it's just geschmack all day long, maybe it's a chassidus, maybe it's a cult, maybe it's an entertainment factory, but people don't grow from that. And so therefore, if you want people to grow, there's no choice other than to push people out of their comfort zone a little bit. I remember I had a conversation with the Rosh Yeshiva. Really, it wasn't a conversation. It was sort of like, you know, he was talking to me. And it was many years ago. He was offering me a particular position in the yeshiva, which I didn't end up taking. And the Rosh Yeshiva said to me, now, Rabbi Sinowitz, you have what I call the turnaround power ability. Which I took to mean is that I'm a nudnik that knows how to get out on people's nerves. Another experience that I had, which was, I don't know, maybe more blunt than that, was that he told me at a certain point, he goes, you know, your bark is a lot worse than your bite. I have to admit, I maybe have been a little insulted by both of those comments. Because, you know, I look at myself as a pretty nice guy. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. They say that I smile a lot. But the bottom line is that if you really want to get somebody anywhere, there is no choice. You have to nudge. You have to nudge. Hopefully not any more than that. And sometimes it gets a little bit uncomfortable. And sometimes it's at risk. Sometimes if you start up with the wrong person, somebody who has, you know, whatever it is, who had a bad day or a bad month or a bad year or a bad life, so then there's backlash and it could last for a while. You, your associates, have seen it. But there's no choice. There's no other way. The second of this week's Parshias, and with this we'll end, is Parshas Maaseh. Parshas Maaseh is, you know, in the beginning, every Baal Keri's dream. You have all of the Maasais, and you can do it in that cute little tune or whatever if you don't want to do it in the regular trup. And one after the other, and one after the other, and after the other, after the other, after the other. And the big kasha is that what do you need all this for? Why go through the whole business? So Rashi has two pshatim. The first one is to tell us how kind that Kadosh Baruch Hu was to us. Even though we were in the Midbar for 40 years, but we moved very, very little. But then he brings the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Rabbi Tanchuma Dorash Boy Drosha Acheres, Moshel Amelech Shehaya Benoy Chole. He had a sick child. And he took him to a faraway place for his refuah. Kivan shayu chayzrim, when they came back, hiskel aviv mayne kol ha-masois. The father would start counting all of the different places where they camped, where they stopped. Amaloi kan yeshananu. Over here, so we slept. Kan ikarnu, over here you were cold. Kan chashashtes reishcha, over here you had a headache. But every single place, it was an episode. And you'd almost hear the violins going in the background. The nostalgia. But that's not the point. The point is that after a person goes on a journey, after a person lives through a year, you have to look back and you have to see what exactly did we accomplish here. What did we gain? Where were we when we started and where are we today? And everybody can do that for themselves. I know for me it's a lot easier when we're in person. You can see this guy started here and at the end of the Zman, he's an entirely different person in way number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Over the Zoom you can see it a little bit, but from a distance it's a lot harder to see. But every person has to do his own stock. Every person has to appreciate his own progress. Every person has to appreciate where he started and where he is today. And that's the way that it goes in life. Every year is a new journey. Lefum Tzara Agra. There's no such a thing as going somewhere without a little bit of discomfort, without a little bit of pain. And you got to be pushed in a certain direction, but a direction that you want to go in, otherwise it won't work either. Like I say, I don't really want this to be a swan song. We still have till Tisha B'Av, if I'm not going to be on the entire time, so Be'ez Hashem, at least partially, to be able to talk to people. But what I will say is that the Zoom Zman, a vision turned into a Cheftza, into a reality, has been an absolutely memorable experience. Very, very sad to feel that it's ending. And the Zmanim before that, getting to know each one of you in a real way, and seeing how you moved, and seeing everybody's promise and potential, each one in their own way, to me is exciting. Because to be frank about it, that's my life. At this stage in my life, I am who I am. But Be'ezras Hashem, everybody in this checkerboard over here will far surpass me and go on to very, very great things. And so, whether this is the curtain call or whether it's not, I just want to give everybody a bracha that as much as you grew this year, you should continue year after year until 120 and beyond to keep on growing. And if you start to coast and it becomes too easy, realize that you're not on the right track. If it's not Sinowitz stepping on your toes and trying to push you to another level, so then it will be your wife. It will be another Rebbe. It will be your kids. It will be the Rabbeinu Shalom by sending you telegraphed messages that this is what you got to do now. But the main thing is that it should always be an uphill battle, because that's the way that you got to go. Up and up and up and up and up until the game is over, and then you really go up. But that doesn't happen for a very long time. And my bracha to all of you is that you continue to grow mechayel el chayel for all the days of your life, and we should continue to be in touch with each other, because like I said, I never say goodbye. Have a good Shabbos.